you're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings. Join in the conversation. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of the Drift On Podcast. Good to have you along for the ride with me. It's Friday evening, and man, I've spent the last hour, I think, working on my studio setup here. It's just frustrating, man. Now you understand why all these producers get paid the big money, right? Because it's not easy doing what we do here. So anyways, welcome to The Drift. What we do on The Drift is go over the news that we put on the dailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. It's the news you need to know. www.thedailydrift.com. Good news aggregate website. If you've noticed, the Drudge report has gotten a little, I don't know if it's anti-Trump. I don't know if it's gone a little leftist. I don't know if Matt Drudge is just not feeling well, if he's been compromised in some way. All right, I'm putting my tin foil on a little bit. But anyways, I just don't understand what's kind of happened with the Drudge Report anymore, so I'm trying not to spend any time there if I can help it. But I do the work for you. I get out and find headlines from around the world and across the country and try to bring them to you, the stuff you don't see on the mainstream media and all that crap that they're giving you. So anyways, welcome to the show, and what a wild, crazy week it's been with impeachment. And you should be aggravated. America, it's time to get aggravated, get motivated, and get out and do something about what these liberals, these Democrats are trying to do to our country, trying to destroy the country, frankly. And if you're not out there being aggravated and getting motivated to do something this election season, boy, you need to, because it's on each and every one of us to make that difference. You know, we need to, the first thing each and every one of us has got to do, and I've been wanting to scream this all week, is stop voting Democratic. Folks, just stop. Stop hurting yourself. Stop hurting your children. Stop hurting your grandchildren. Stop hurting the future of the country, because that's what, and I don't care if it's at the school board level. I don't care if it's the state level or the county level or the township level. And definitely at the federal level, it's got to stop. The country that you and I grew up in, the country that our parents and our grandparents grew up in, the country that our great-grandparents came to have a better life, is systematically being destroyed by Democrats. If you don't see that, you must be blind. Take a look at the Adam Schiffs in Washington, the Nancy Pelosi's in Washington, the Chuck Schumer's in Washington, the Gerald Nadler's in Washington. And it's not just them, it's the bought and paid for media. These people are obviously on the same side, right? If you can't see that, there's something wrong with you. Folks, this is not just me. There's no tinfoil here. There is something specifically wrong with the country when the strongest party in America has been is the Democrats, because they always seem to run roughshod over the Republicans, has gone completely anti-American. We've seen it over the last few weeks. They're defending Iran. They're defending terrorism. They're defending all the things that are un-American. And if you're not seeing it, there's something seriously wrong with your vision or your hearing. Because it's there, it's in plain sight in front of you, and each and every one of us has a job in 2020. And that job is to support Donald Trump and to support every Republican member of Congress you can. And don't get me wrong, I understand that there are some Republicans who are just, they're no better than the Democrats. There's some rhinos, some globalists, some elitists. There's some guys, they call themselves conservatives. They're not conservative by any stretch of the imagination. And this stuff just needs to end. So you've got a primary season to get rid of those guys. Do your best. But in the end, come general election, whether your guy made it through the primaries or not, you need to take a serious, serious look and vote Republican. This year, I'm not a straight ticket guy. I really am not. I'm not a straight ticket guy. I don't think I've ever voted a straight ticket. I'm 55 this year. I don't think since I was 18 and able to vote that I've ever voted straight ticket, because I was raised to look at the person, judge them on their plans, their actions, their character, and what they say to some point. But I've never pulled a straight ticket lever in my life. And for 2020, I think I'm going to save myself a lot of aggravation. And if I don't get my absentee ballot, I'm going to go in proudly and I'm going straight ticket. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. My polling location, I think, is still on paper ballots, as I recall. And yeah, it's paper ballots, and you feed it into the little machine yourself. But I'm straight ticketing it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in my book. I mean, I always used to like to take those, the college and the university where we pick our trustees and stuff for the universities. And I would kind of split them up among the libertarians, the constitutionalists, hardly ever a Democrat, unless I knew them personally, knew that they weren't a douchebag, in which case you might actually get me to vote for a Democrat. But I don't think I've done that in probably 15, 20 years now myself, because there are no good Democrats anymore. Really? If there is one, please let me know. Love to get them on the show, give them an honest break. You know, if you're an old school Democrat and you're a John Kennedy Democrat, please, I'll be happy to get you on the Drift Radio Show. And you can reach out to me at Gary@thedailydrift.com, and we'll get you on. Man, I'll give anybody an honest shake. If you're honest with me, I'll give it to you. I don't like sandbagging anybody either. You know, you're a Democrat or a Republican that I may not trust. If you're worried about coming on the show, man, I'll give you a list of questions I'm going to ask you. That's how honest I am. I'm not out to sandbag and make any points on it. I want people to know the truth. And I think that's what they should do on the debates, frankly. You know, don't try and sandbag people and get you the gotcha moment in a debate. Give each and every one of these candidates a list. Hey, this is what we're going to ask. Prepare yourself for it so that we can get a good, honest answer from you. I don't want to catch anybody. I want to know what your true thoughts are. And if you have to have a few minutes to put that on a 5x3 card, then knock yourself out. Tell me what your plans are. Make your promise to me and keep it. Donald Trump sure did. Right? Donald Trump has made promises and kept promises. I think it's like well over 300, depending on how you watch. But I mean, it's an incredible amount of promises that this non-politician did for us and is doing for us on a daily basis. A guy, by the way, who does not take anything but a dollar in salary. Now, I know, oh, he's a billionaire. What does he need that $450,000 salary for anyway? Barack Obama took it and somehow parlayed it into millions and millions of dollars. Like every other pot. You know, Donald Trump is the first president to come into office and lose money. He will leave, whether it's in 4 years or 8 years, he will leave the office of the presidency worth less, net value less, than when he went into office. Now, he's going to write a book. Well, sure he is. Like, he doesn't need any more money anyways. I'm sure he will write a book because he's going to want to set the record straight. Why wouldn't he want to set the record straight? But that's going to happen. He's going to set the record straight. He's going to write his book. He'll get it out there. He'll probably have somebody help write the book. I'm sure he's just too busy to probably do all the other stuff that's going on. But this is a guy who donates his salary every quarter to different parts of the government that need it. He's donated to the veterans, I think. He's donated to the national parks. This is what Donald Trump has done for 3 years now. And imagine a guy coming into office like this and suffering the slings and arrows and the nasty abuse that his own party gave him during the primary process, that to this day the rhinos and the never-Trumpers and the global elitists and the alleged conservatives, the neocons, are still Bill Kristol, Jonah Goldberg, all these guys at the Dispatch. Have you seen the new Dispatch, Jonah Goldberg and crew? They suck. A bunch of never-Trumpers coming up with whatever. You know what? You suck. National Review went out of business, I think, because they were also never-Trumper. And they lost the Republicans who used to read that garbage. Don't let these neocons, these elitists who think, and that's what it comes down to, right? That's what I personally have friends who call themselves conservatives, who call themselves, some of them Republicans, who despise Donald Trump. They despise him. Oh, he's not good enough to be president. He's too rude. He's crude. He's socially unacceptable. Well, you know, you just described me. Deplorable, socially unacceptable, rude, crude. You don't like the way I speak. I speak plain. It's that simple. I don't put on airs. I'm not a fancy. Do I own a tux? Yes, I do. And I've worn it probably a couple dozen times in my life. But I'm not that upper echelon elite 1% global elite. I don't consider myself better than anybody. You know, I've worked blue collar jobs. I've worked construction. I've worked, I'm a white collar guy now in the auto industry. I've done it all. I've bartended. I've washed dishes. I've cooked. I've been a short order cook. Imagine that. I'm not a bad cook at home either when you come to think about it. But I'm an average guy. And like 63 million average guys and gals in the country that voted for Donald Trump in 2016, a lot of them to this day still won't admit it. Still won't admit it because they don't want people judging them for voting for a guy that people think is not good enough to be our president of the United States. Well, bull crap on that. Donald Trump is who he is. He doesn't put on airs. If you don't like him, you don't like him. I didn't hire him to be liked. I hired him to make the tough choices, the tough decisions, and he's done it. Time and time again over the last 3 years, Donald Trump has been the guy who's made the right decisions. Even in our own group, our own inner circle here at the Drift, you know, regular listeners and stuff, I've seen it all. From the day he came down to the escalator, we've had people who didn't like Trump. He was third, fourth, if he was anywhere on their choice for a president. But they've all come around to the point, are they always happy with him on a daily basis? No. Are there days that I actually cringe on a certain tweet here and there? Yes. But I wouldn't change any of it for the world. The results that Donald J. Trump has given us over the last few years are absolutely phenomenal. He has done things for us that no other president, not even Ronald Reagan, who's our Saint Reagan, right, for the Republican Party, better than Reagan. Tons more successes. How many people could have brought North Korea to the table? Donald Trump did. They said he couldn't do it because he went at him with little rocket man, abused him, whatever, got under his skin. And within a year, met him, visited Korea, got him to stop firing missiles. Now he's firing rockets again. And will they fire missiles? There's nothing set in stone. But I have to believe that what Donald Trump and his negotiators did, and that includes Pompeo, going to Korea, they've made huge inroads and successes with Korea. Because if they've done nothing else in his 4 or 8 years, if they've done nothing else with Korea, they've planted a seed in the mind of a dictator, Kim Jong-un, and said, you know what, there's something else. You can do better. You can be better. You can do more for your country. And maybe in Kim Jong-un's mind and his general's minds, it's just we can be super wealthy by exploiting our country in a different manner that's peaceful as opposed to being the scourge of the hermit kingdom of the world. You know what I mean? Something happened there. And Donald Trump went in and he did it. And the opportunity was there. Because you see a guy like Dennis Rodman. Okay, just one of America's celebrity oddballs. Dennis Rodman, I don't think he's even really wanted in Hollywood or in the popularity scene of celebrity status in sports. Dennis Rodman is a guy that's on the edge. Kind of that, the black sheep, you know, just not quite accepted. but he found himself a compatriot in Kim Jong-un. And Kim Jong-un is not his father. Kim Jong-un has had experiences around the world. There are things he likes in the world that he probably wants to experience and can't because he's the leader of the Hermit Kingdom. Because people think of him as the abusive dictator. The head of a country that killed Otto Warmbier, right? That's still got to be taken care of at some point. There needs to be some kind of apology. There needs to be something done for that family. I don't know. Maybe that'll happen someday. Maybe it won't. But when it comes to North Korea, the only president since North Korea and South Korea had their truce, whatever. The war is still ongoing. Whatever. It's now signed, right? Donald Trump did that. Barack Obama didn't do that. The guy who got the Nobel Peace Prize, Barack Obama, he didn't do that. Clinton didn't do that. Neither of the Bushes did that. Nixon didn't do that. Carter didn't do that. Ford didn't do that. Nobody did that. Nobody. But Donald Trump did. China trade deal. So we talk about China trade deal. Phase one was signed this week. Signed on the same day that Nancy Pelosi was signing articles of impeachment. Partisan, strictly partisan item articles of impeachment that don't even contain a crime. Impeachment is for high crimes and misdemeanors. Not even a crime in the articles of impeachment. And now it's over at the Senate, and the Democrats are trying to say we want a fair trial in the Senate. They didn't give them a fair investigation during the articles and hearings for the impeachment, but they sure now want to get their fair share of a fair trial in the Senate. Screw you, Nancy! You don't get anything. And I hope Mitch McConnell has the guts and the tenacity. And Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz and Chuck Grassley. It's time for Republicans to stand up and fight fire with fire. And I put that on the Daily Drift today. If you're not going again to thedailydrift.com, you should be www.thedailydrift.com. Make sure you're going there. I put a lot of effort into that, folks. Check it out. Are you going to call me a journalist? No, don't dare call me a journalist. I'm an agendist, no different than the left, but I'm on the right, trying to combat that yellow journalism that we see on a daily basis. But at least the stories I put up there are fact. I'm not the one writing them. I'm just reporting it. So it's there, www.thedailydrift.com. Check it out. Tweet it, Facebook it, parlay it. And if you're not on social media, doggone it, get out there and do your part in the social media war. Be a digital warrior like the rest of us. Get out there and do your fair share. Get in the trenches with the rest of us. On Twitter, you can reach me. Just go ahead and friend me. It's a good start. At Gary Daily Drift is my handle. Just look for me. Pretty easy guy to find on Twitter. Same handle on Parler, at Gary Daily Drift. On Facebook, you can find me, Gary Wellings. Top of my page will be The Daily Drift. Pretty easy to find. Get out there. But social media is that. I know a lot of people don't want to admit they do social media. A lot of people don't want to be involved with it and blah, 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 right? Because you do happen to get. I've got friends who are liberals. I've learned now not to go to their pages and not to try to pick fights with people. They come to my page quite often and pick fights with me, but eh. You know, it is what it is. I always end those arguments. Love your brother, love your sister, whatever. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to have your holidays and your holiday meals and your family spoiled by politics. You really don't. Just use your head. But when you get stuck in an argument, use your head and use common sense arguments, man. You don't have to attack people. Donald Trump doesn't need defending. His actions alone and those Republicans who have helped him along, not many of them, those Republicans that have helped him along, they don't need defending. We've got the best economy in decades. We've got wages going up. That hasn't happened in a decade. We have the best employment and the lowest unemployment for Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, female Americans, than we've had in decades. Asian Americans. You know, you've been seeing some of the polling that goes on. And normally I don't put a lot of faith in the polls. The polls were wrong with the 2016 election. The polls are wrong today, most of them. You can look at the Real Clear at Politics Average poll and see what's going on there. But for the most part, I don't put faith in polls. But one thing I do put faith in is the polling that is showing Black Americans, African Americans, are turning the page on the Democrat Party. You've heard of the walkaway movement. You'll see it all over Twitter now. You're starting to see it on Facebook. You'll certainly see it on Gab and Parler. A lot of African Americans are finally realizing, because Donald Trump said it in the 2016 election, what have you got to lose? Democrats have been promising you stuff for 30, 40 years, and they haven't delivered anything. What have you got to lose? And Republicans, as a rule, don't get more than 8%, maybe, of the Black vote on any. Allegedly, and the polling is starting to be consistent across many different polls, that African American support for Donald Trump is now getting into the 30% range. They've said for years that if 20% of the Black vote went to Republicans, the Democrats are finished. Now, does that make sense to you? Does that maybe make a little bit of sense to you when you look at how desperate the Democrats have become to bring new voters into this country? That in California and New York, two of the states with the most new immigrants, refugees, legal aliens, illegal aliens, are now giving driver's license to these people. They're not citizens. They're not supposed to be voting, but let me assure you of something, and you should know this. If you've got a driver's license, you're going to be able to vote. There's very little that can be done to stop you. Your vote will be tallied, and before it's ever caught or fixed or anyone finds out about it, your vote will already have been cast, and it'll probably have an effect on the election. Now, Hillary Clinton likes to go and say, oh, I won the popular vote in 2016 by 5 million or 4.5 million, whatever it was. Between the dead voters who always vote Democrat and the illegal voters and the fraudulent voters, I'm thinking there was 4 to 5 million fraudulent votes in this country. Don't you? It makes sense. When you look at the big picture, that's what makes sense. Democrats stand for open borders. Why? So they can bring in new voters. Illegal aliens are going to vote. Let's give them stuff. Let's give them stuff. Give them benefits. Let's give them Social Security. Let's get them Medicare. Free Medicare. Like you and I who were born here, some of us have worked. Some people haven't, right? There's a fair share of indigenous Americans who were born here who may not work, don't have the great work ethic either. Now, the work ethic for a lot of Americans has dropped over the generations just because, you know what? People who come here new appreciate it more. They work harder. And you wonder why so many immigrants seem to own stores and shops and donut shops and gas stations and everything else. Well, they come with whatever. They save their money. They buy it as a family. They're working harder than the average American who's been here for three or four generations. There's no doubt. I think we can each look at our own kids. If you're a fifth or sixth generation American, you look at your kids today and they're nowhere near as worked as hard as you did at your age or your grandparents worked at their age, right? But you got to look at what the Democrats are doing on a daily basis and what the mainstream media who is bought and paid. I don't quite understand, do the liberals and the Democrats own the media? Or does the media own the liberals and the Democrats? I haven't quite figured that one out yet. But I think it doesn't really matter in the end because they're on the same team and what they're pushing is what's going to kill America. And I think those of us who are hardworking, are paying our taxes, are trying to make our lives better and our children's lives better and our grandchildren's lives better, we see it. We're not as dumb as the media seems to think we are and as the Democrats seem to think we are because you know what? 63 million Americans voted for Donald Trump in 2016 despite the fact that he was rude, crude, and socially obnoxious as so many people like to say. I just call him blunt, truthful. That's what I call them. Okay, so doggone it, I just looked down at the time on the meter here and see that I've been on my soapbox for 25 minutes, so not always a good thing. And but hey, I had to get off my chest. I kind of miss not doing the podcast regularly. I'm going to try and get back to doing the weekly show. It's been tough. Like I said, I've been working on the studio for a while. I had things set up in here, and of course, I've done a couple of podcasts. We've had a couple of great shows. We had Ash Hampton on a couple times, and we had 8th congressional candidate Alan Hoover on. Great podcast. You can look that up at thedailydrift.com. Just click on the Common Sense Radio tab up in the corner, and you'll see all the shows that we've got in the can. But make sure you check that one out. That's a good shot. I think Alan Hoover is probably one of our better chances of beating Alyssa Slotkin here in the 8th District, which is my district now. I used to have Tim Walberg as my congressman, and I no longer do. But we're going to get Tim back on the show, too. He's already said he would come back on, so we'll have to square away that. I've got some more work to do on the studio. Like I said, I spent about an hour before I began recording this podcast trying to get my system squared away here, but it's just not right. Just not right. I should have spent more time learning the behind-the-scenes stuff after 8 years of doing this live on Saturdays on the radio, but it is what it is. So I just went to thedailydrift.com, and again, www.thedailydrift.com, news aggregate. Check it out and spread it around because, like I said, I've been doing it since, I think in one form or another, since 2009, but this version since about 2011 when I first got into radio. And then I went to the Daily Drift myself right now and realized, oh, I didn't upload my Friday edition until, well, just a few minutes ago. So there you go. And I'll have the Saturday edition up by the end of the night or first thing in the morning as well. So, but that goes back all the way to 2011. You can check out, if you want to go back and check out the elections any of those years, you can see it. And I've got the radio archives that go all the way back to 2011 as well. So we've been at it a while. When I think about it, you know, I've been doing this quite some time, and it's not easy. So one of the things that we had on was Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer playing politics on thedailydrift.com. And he's working with Mitch McConnell, not really working with Mitch, but working against Mitch McConnell and the Republicans. Now, let's talk about how the impeachment has gone over. So what you've seen, and this is part of the reason Nancy Pelosi was trying to hold up those articles for impeachment after saying it so fast, we need to get it done. And you need to ask yourself, they were in such a rush to get this done. Why? Well, because it's a scam. This is playing politics. There's nothing here to be seen. They've been trying to destroy Donald Trump since before he got elected because they knew him coming in. He was a doer. He was a go-getter. This is a guy who's not part of their elite club there in Washington, D.C., because you know what? They've got something good going on in D.C. They really do. You want to make a good analogy of it. What happens in Washington, D.C. with that political ruling class is they're becoming tyrants in and of themselves. You ever see the Hunger Games? You know the Hunger Games? That's three of them, I think, now. But they talk about the Capitol, right? All the other parts of the country serve the capital. These people slave. We all become their slaves. And that's what they're slowly pushing us into. It's no different than the Hunger Games. At some point, they're going to take away all our guns and they're going to make us fight amongst each other and do things to cow us down because they don't want us having the power. When they go after Donald Trump to impeach him and try to get rid of him, they're not trying to get rid of Donald Trump. They're trying to get rid of us. They're mad that we said we don't want Hillary Clinton. We don't want a Bush. They're mad. They expected that George Bush's brother would become the next president or the next contender with Hillary Clinton. They wanted Hillary Clinton to win or a Bush to win. Well, we threw the apple cart upside down by electing Trump. They're mad at you. They're not mad at Donald Trump. They were never mad at him before he ran for office. They loved him. He gave them money. He paid for their campaigns. He was in Hollywood. He was the darling of Hollywood. How many shows was he on? TV shows. He was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He was a show. He did little spots on tons of TV shows until he got his own TV show and become a reality show host, right? Hollywood loved him.
Won't love him so much anymore, do they?
It's because he's a game changer. He's upsetting their apple cart. The big free ride of corruption and greed and money in Washington, D.C. is at risk here. That's why they're working so hard to destroy this man. And it's not him they want to destroy, it's us. They want to control your health care. Michael Bloomberg wants to control what you eat and drink. The Democrats, the whole Green New Deal is about control. It's all about control. So Chuck Schumer, when he says we want the fair deal in the trial of the Senate, he doesn't. This is him trying to finagle a way to win back the Senate. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to somehow make this play to the American public that, look, these Republicans aren't going to follow in line with us and they're hiding things. It's a big cover-up. There's no cover-up here. The only cover-up is what the Democrats are hiding, the corruption they've been hiding for decades. And if you don't think this is all somehow tied in with the sex trafficking and the Epstein, you keep thinking that. It's not true. It is true. There's a sickness and an evilness, not only in this country, but around the world, and it's got something to do with Epstein. You think I'm wrong? He didn't hang himself, folks. He didn't hang himself. Like my tree didn't hang all the ornaments on it by themselves either. I had to do that. Somebody took care of Mr. Epstein. Don't get me on that one. It's too late in the evening to go that way. But the impeachment has now moved to the Senate. And I think on Tuesday it'll get going. They swore in John Roberts, Chief Justice, who will preside over the Senate trial. And they swore in, I think, all 100 senators. So, and here's another thing. You really want to put your tinfoil on? Are the Democrats trying to persuade what's going to happen in their own primary by doing this? Because how are they going to jive this weeks off before the Iowa caucus, the first Iowa caucus here, by taking all the senators off the campaign trail? Which leads me to another question. Frankly, how can senators who are running for president of the United States actually be allowed to vote on an impeachment of the president of the United States that they will be running against? Is that not the biggest conflict of interest in the world? Shouldn't there be some recusals from Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar? Where are the recusals? I haven't heard one person. I haven't heard a law professor. I haven't heard anyone in the media discuss it. Should there not be recusals of certain senators who are running for office for the president of the United States against Donald Trump, the same guy that they're now going to vote out? If that's not a conflict of interest, what is? It's crazy how we can allow that to happen. You're asking Barr to recuse himself. They asked Jeff Sessions to recuse himself. And yet, all these Democrats who are running for president get to vote on whether to impeach the current president of the United States, who they'll be running against in the fall? Don't think so. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, if you're asking me. Who am I? I'm just a guy, right? Okay, so listen, what I'm going to ask you to do one more time is go to thedailydrift.com, and you can actually subscribe to thedailydrift.com. You can have it delivered to your inbox so you don't have to go to the webpage. And don't worry about me taking your information. I can't. I don't know how to use that information. I have no way to collate your information or anything else. But you can have, if you stick your email in there, you'll get a link sent to your inbox, into your mailbox, whatever email you give it. And it'll show up in your box every day, and that way you don't have to go to the web page looking for it. Makes it easy, right? All right, well, let's keep on with the DailyDrift.com. So there's a story that the General Accounting Office said yesterday in a report that the Trump administration broke the law by suspending the aid to Ukraine for the short period of time that they did because Congress had approved it. And so the GAO's recommendation is that that there was a their interpretation, I guess I should say, is that the Trump administration broke the law by withholding aid for a period of time from Ukraine, even though Ukraine didn't even know there was that hold on their aid at the point. But that kind of is strange because it was just last month when the Office of Management and Budget wrote a memorandum to the Government Accountability, the GAO office, saying that it wasn't. The Washington Post reported the existence of the memorandum and published it, and it largely overlooked in favor of the day's lengthy impeachment debate in the House Judiciary. It makes it a little different story than what the GAO is reporting today. See, in this memo, the Office of Management and Budget begins by explaining that it often holds up funding to federal agencies in the regular course of business under its apportionment authority, often for reasons as mundane as making sure funding is being spent efficiently. Well, hello! It's not that Donald Trump kept Ukraine from getting their money, because they did get it. And he never got anything in return for it, which is the big nonsense. But the Office of Management and Budget, which works with the GAO, just plainly said right here. So why is it that all of a sudden the GAO changes this story around on the day that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats bring the House articles of impeachment over to the Senate? Really? You think that's a coincidence? Does it sound like a coincidence to you? Or does it sound more like the deep state shenanigans we see so often with the bureaucracy that's in Washington, D.C.? And let's be honest, this is all about the bureaucracy, right? And this is the problem with when people get entrenched. You'll see this anywhere you go, at your insurance agencies, at Blue Cross Blue Shield, at the Secretary of State's office. You get people that become so entrenched in government. And that's part of the thing. Yeah, there was a time in our country when being a civil servant was something you did as a matter of pride because you wanted to give back to the community. Your wages were lower, but you got taken care of. You had a pretty good retirement, right? They had good pensions for you, but you didn't make a lot of money. But you knew that you were there to make things better. You were there as kind of a volunteer type of thing. You were doing it for the country. You were doing it for your community. And that's no longer the case. We've now got probably two generations, maybe three, of people who've been working for the government who feel entitled. You know, it's no different than our children today. A lot of our young kids, mine included, they feel entitled. You know, that's that entitlement mentality. Young Americans, our millennials, feel that way, the snowflakes that we so often call them. They feel entitled that they should get this for free. They shouldn't have to work so hard for blah. Our kids feel that way. But it's no different with adults. People that have... You'll see it in the unions too, right? You're in there for 30 years. You think you're entitled to everything. You don't work so hard. You slack off. I know better than you. You get that feeling of entitlement. You get that feeling, dare I say, of superiority, which I think goes back to the whole idea of this ruling class, right? They think they're better than us. They think they're smarter than us. They think they're entitled to know better because you know what? They know what's best for not only them, they know what's best for you. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? Do you think somebody in Washington, D.C., or in your own state capital knows what's better for you than you? I know they don't know what's better for me than me. I can tell you that. Because, they don't know me. And there's no bigger thing to say than right now, those people out there in Washington, D.C., or in your own state capital, they don't know you. They don't know what you're going through. They don't know how hard you work. They don't see that it's your tax money that they're spending. It's their money. They don't feel it's your money. They feel it's their money. That's what it comes down to. And that's why we have to get involved. And you want to talk about term limits. Term limits are You know, a lot of people say we've got to have term. And for the most part, I agree. I think we do need to have some term limits. And I wish our founding fathers had a little more foresight. But maybe they couldn't see how evil and greedy and corrupt people could be. It was a simpler time then, right? Maybe they didn't see what was coming in the future. They were pretty good prognosticators for the most part. But I don't think they could have imagined the level of greed and corruption that would have. They probably couldn't imagine the size either of what the country would become back then. They probably couldn't have envisioned that the entire continent would become the United States of America. They probably couldn't have envisioned the fact. They probably couldn't even imagine what $1 trillion was. I remember as a kid about thinking billions was the billions. That was the biggest. It doesn't get any bigger than billions. And now we're in the trillions. So you could got to go back 250 years ago and think the founding fathers probably had no idea what $1 trillion was. Probably didn't even think what $1 billion was. But they did pretty good. So term limits, obviously something needed to be done because you know what? I think that's just human nature, you know. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think that's part of what you're seeing in Washington, D.C., people again. We've seen some good people go to Washington, D.C. and become corrupted. I won't say names. I've seen people go there and they get involved, and no, it's not right. I don't know that I would ever want to. There was times I thought about running for. I did run for state senate here in the state of Michigan at one point. Didn't win, thank goodness. God only knows how ugly my life would have been had that happened, because I'm not the kind of guy to. Try to get in line and be part of the group. I've always been the outsider and the renegade and the smart mouth and the guy causing trouble, right? That's just me. But each and every one of us has to work, because you know what? We have that choice of whether we're going to send somebody back for a second, third term or a third term or a fourth term. For me, I would like to see a rule put into place where people can't run consecutively. Because the thing that bothers me even more than the people that are there for 30 or 40 years is the fact that on a two-year term in Congress, especially if you're new, that first year you're going to learn, you're probably not doing a whole lot. Second year, you're already looking to get reelected. So I'm paying you $174,000 as a congressman to spend the last year of your two-year term trying to find a way to get elected. Out doing fundraising, out talking to the voters on the campaign stump, doing whatever you've got to do, talking with the lobbyists to get some more money out of K Street. I don't want to see that. If I'm paying you $174,000 a year, I want to see you doing my work. Well, frankly, I'd rather you not do anything. Go up there and do nothing. Because most of the crap you churn out in Washington, D.C. is nothing but hurting me as a citizen anyways, as a taxpayer. But I would like to see not being able to run consecutively. So you go to Washington, D.C., whether it's a two-year term in the House or a six-year term in the Senate, you do your term, you go home. You want to become senator or congressman again? You got 2 or 6 years to figure out how to do it. Go campaign on your own time and your own dime. That's what I want to see. I don't want you out there doing your business to get reelected on my dollar. I don't like that. I don't think it's efficient. I don't think it's right, because you know what? You're not making decisions, honest decisions, that would be helpful to us, the people at home. I think if you have to go to Washington, D.C. and make 2 years worth of rules and then come home and work under those 2 years of rules, well, you might make a different decision, right? Knowing that you had to live under the same rules. I don't like the fact that they get unlimited pensions and better health care than everyone else. You know what? Come live under the same health care and pensions the rest of us do. Put your 401k together. If you got to go home and find a real job, make some real money, knock yourself up. Become a corporate CEO or something and make your money, and then run again later on when you feel like it and have the money. That's what bothers me. Okay, so let's shift gears here. And the last couple of things I want to cover before the end of the show is a couple of breaking news that we've seen over the last 24 hours on Twitter, even. It looks like, and if you're a Twitter or Facebook person, you've probably seen these, right? These allegations against Representative Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, who's one of the squad. She's one of the Muslim extremists, and there's been alleged that she married her brother in part of an immigration scam to get other people into the country. There's allegations that she's not really who she said she is, and that she got into the country, committed fraud getting in and getting her citizenship. And so we're looking at immigration fraud. We're looking at some FEC violations, election fraud. And it now looks that was breaking over the last 24 hours that the federal government is indeed now looking. Now, if you're like me, I've been on Twitter for months and months tweeting the Justice Department, tweeting the FBI saying, hey, you know, here's all these stories out here. They're pretty credible. It's done by real journalists. There's information that looks pretty credible. Where's the justice? Is there no investigation? Well, I'm guessing now that there has been investigation. And, of course, like all investigations, they got to be silent, at least in the beginning. But it looks like that now is beginning to grow some legs. And let's hope that there is not a two-tier justice system in this country and that Ilhan Omar will be investigated and charged if it's true and the facts bear out, and have her removed from Congress. I'm hoping she doesn't get reelected. I'm hoping the people of Minnesota. So there's some people running for office in her district, and one of them is actually another Muslim, but 180 degrees different. If there's a reformed good Muslim, this lady, I don't have her name. I'll have to get it for her. We'll talk about her next week. I'll get it up on thedailydrift.com. But there's some options going on there. It's the same with AOC in her district. The squad, I am hoping America is, and here's what I guess I'm hoping more than anything else, that we won't just get Donald Trump reelected and that we won't just win back the House. I want those two things. I think we should all be praying for it, working for it, campaigning for it, voting for it, doing whatever we can to help, getting on social media, talking to your neighbors, whatever you have to do. But I am hoping that the American public has seen over the course of the last 3 years just how decrepit, decayed, corrupt the Democratic Party is. If you're a Democrat, I'm not trying to insult you. If you're a Democrat and you believed in JFK and you believed in Franklin Delano Roosevelt and whatever else you have in your back mind about what the Democratic Party stands for, that is not today's Democratic Party. If you are a Democrat, if you're a union guy, if you're a blue-collar guy and you're working, it's not the Democrats who care for you. It's not the Democrats who are working for you. They're not. That's why they're lowering your wages when they have open borders and have people coming here. They're lowering your wages when they want mass immigration coming here, legally or otherwise. Because, you know what? It's simple economics. If there are more people here fighting for the jobs, wages are not going to go up. Trump has reduced immigration, illegal and legal. The United States still takes over 1 million legal immigrants a year, which is more than what the rest of the world takes in combined. We're still the great shining city on the hill where people come to. And all these Democrats and these snowflakes and these millennials and these liberals who keep saying, oh, we're such a terrible, racist, bigoted, misogynistic country. Why are those people from all over the world still coming here if we were that bad? Because it's not true. You're being lied to on a daily basis. All right, so I'm not going to go on any longer. I think we've done a pretty decent show today. I vented. I wanted to vent. That's what the show was about for me all this time. We're going to get the show back running on a weekly basis here. I just got to still work on some of my equipment. I've got to work on phone lines and there's things I've got to get to. So I'm hoping you can bear with me as I get off my soapbox today and get the drift back up and running on a regular basis. Bear with me. Send me emails, gary@thedailydrift.com. And we'll catch you next time on thedailydrift.com as well as here at The Drift Radio. Take care, and we'll see you next time around.